Welcome back to Plot Twist I Forgot. I'm Davin.
I'm Laura.
And it's October.
Yay!
If you're listening to this.
Happy
it's not
Halloween!
October for us.
It's not,
Happy
but it
Halloween.
Is. It's always Halloween in my soul.
Exactly. Halloween is all year round to us, but it's pre-Halloween still for us. We're recording this in September. But we have a lot of fun stuff coming for you today. Lots of recommendations to add to your spooky season TBR from disturbing to like more fun, if you want to call horror that, which I would. So
I would too.
Yeah. Do you want to tell the people before we, because I have quite a few recommendations. Do you want to tell them what we're reading this month?
We are going to read, we're throwing it way back to middle school, a book perhaps you purchased at a Scholastic book fair and perhaps you bought erasers instead. I don't know. But we're going to read an R.L. Stine, and we are reading, is it a Fear Street?
It is. It's Halloween Party.
Halloween Party. And what could be better, honestly? I didn't read the synopsis. I have no idea what happens. I know I owned this in a previous life, but if I can't remember a book I read this year, I certainly can't read one. I mean, remember one that I read in middle school.
One thing I do remember, because I feel like everyone, I saw a meme recently where it's like, where did your Halloween or horror obsession start when it came to reading? And I think for everyone, it was R.L. Stine in some capacity. Like, I remember being in, forget what grade I was in, but all I wanted to read was Fear
Goosebumps.
Street or just R.L. Stine. And they're like, Goosebumps all the way, and they're like, well, she could read at a higher grade level, but all she'll read is Goosebumps. And it's like, well, find me something better then. Like, nothing is doing it for me but this, so what do you want from me?
Yeah, I lived a similar life. I did do some weird stuff. Like, I stole my mom's Stephen King because she was in a book club. My mom's a reader, and that's really how I got big into reading. But she was in, like, she got books in the mail every day, so she had like hardcover original Stephen King's.
Oh shit.
And yeah, I stole it, and I remember being 11 and I knew I wasn't allowed to read it, and I was sitting on the floor behind the guest bed, in between the guest bed and the wall, reading it when my parents weren't looking. So
I love that so much.
That's really where it started, but I definitely was a Goosebumps and Fear Street child. I did read some Christopher Pike, but like that's where it all began.
You know what's so funny? I didn't hear about Christopher Pike until the show came out. The Midnight, what is it? Midnight, the Midnight Club?
Yeah. Club, Midnight Live, nope, Club, Midnight Club.
Yeah, I know, I wanted to go with the Midnight Live. I was like, that's not it. Yeah, I didn't read any, and I did read the Midnight Club, and I was like, okay, but I definitely think nothing against him. It was one book that I read, so, and I read it, like, last year. If I read it when I was younger, maybe I would have felt differently, but definitely Goosebumps.
Yep.
All the way, and I think you told me about this, and I just saw a poster for it. They're making a new Fear Street movie on Netflix, so I cannot wait.
I just heard that. I don't think it was me that told you that, because I was listening to, there's a podcast called Books in the Freezer, and she does interviews with horror authors every week, and they like have a topic and they talk about books or whatever. And one of the most recent ones I listened to was actually, they were doing book pairings with Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes.
Oh, fun.
And I'm not sure if that's the episode. I listened to like three on the way home one day. I'm not sure that's the episode, but they were talking about the new Fear Street movie, I think. I think that's where I heard it from. Either way, go listen to Books in the Freezer. But
heck yeah. Well, to go into spooky season, I found some recommendations, and I had to go a couple years back because I didn't want to just recommend like something that came out 6 months ago or a year. Like, I wanted to try to find something that maybe you guys haven't read yet or I haven't seen on Instagram in quite a while. And I have to start, I don't know if you've read this, and if I haven't told you to read this, it's a crime, to be honest, because I used to recommend this all the time. It's Perfect Days by Rafael Montes. Have you read this?
I haven't read it, but you have recommended it to me, and I did buy it.
Okay. But well, that's a step in the right direction, at least.
It lives upstairs. I know exactly where it's in. It's in a little basket.
I remember this one. This came out in, oh my goodness, 2014. So yeah. 10 years ago. And I wasn't on Bookstagram. I don't know if Bookstagram was even a thing because Instagram was still so new back then.
Yeah, it was super new.
But what I do remember is because this was like peak YouTube days, I watched a lot of like beauty YouTubers, and I remember, and I'm not saying this was a trailer in a beauty YouTube video, but I just was on YouTube a little bit more than I am now. And I saw he had like a campaign on YouTube, a YouTube ad, and it was people just saying how creepy the book was and how scary it was. And the thing that got me was that, oh, it has a scene that's worse than Misery. And at this time, I hadn't read Misery, so I didn't know the actual scene they were talking about. I just thought it was the 4x4 scene.
Is it the ankles? It's the ankles, isn't it?
No, it's the lawnmower scene, which got cut from the movie.
I didn't read Misery because I knew I was going to hate it, so.
Oh, so there's a scene where Kathy Bates' character in the book, she runs someone over with a lawnmower, and it just describes, like, this whole, it's gruesome, and this book is it's a lot. So the little tagline on Goodreads is, a twisted young medical student kidnaps the girl of his dreams and embarks on a dark, delirious road trip across Brazil. So it is, so, you know, the main character's name is Tio. He is just kind of awkward. He is a stalker and he latches on to this woman and becomes obsessed with her. And it's just him trying to do what stalkers do and just be really close with her. And in the pursuit of this, like, a lot of weird stuff happens. And it has a crazy ending. Like, it's sad, but it's also like, oh my God, like, this happened. So I would highly recommend. It is kind of gory. There are certain scenes that are just a lot, so be prepared. But definitely, it's one that sticks with you. I mean, I read it 10 years ago, and here I am still talking about it in some capacity, so.
I'll add it to my little stack. It's up there. I was just today, like, going through my shelves, and I'm like, what will I read this year for spooky season? And I'll have to add that one to my little pile since I already own it and have for 4 years.
Yes.
Oops.
Oh, well, you know, that happens. I feel like there's a couple that I haven't read yet that I've had on my shelf for about the same time that I'm probably going to recommend, because this is also, it's half books I've read that I think people should read, and a couple that I want to read that I haven't read yet. So,
yay.
Got a nice little mix. Speaking of, the next one is Curse of the Reaper by Brian McCauley. Have you read this one yet?
No. But it's got like a hook on the cover.
Mm-hmm, like a scythe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about this one.
The hook is Don't Fear the Reaper, and that's the sequel to My Heart is a Chainsaw. This is a different one. Curse of the Reaper has a scythe on it, yeah. For a second, I was confused, because I thought I recommended the other one, and I'm like, no, not this time. Different episode, but
not today.
not today. This one, haven't read it yet. But it reminds me, just when I read the synopsis, of New Nightmare, which is my favorite horror movie ever. It kind of has that slasher vibe where it's kind of meta, mixing real life with horror movies. And the serial killer, like the guy who plays the Reaper, I guess, is, when it's remade, is not, of course, cast as his most notable character. And so he kind of starts becoming his character in real life. So heard good things about it, haven't read it yet, but Goodreads says it's Scream meets The Shining, which, like, I don't know what else I need to hear outside of that. Yeah. You know, like, I have zero questions, just gonna purchase it.
Sounds really good. And I love the, like, horror movie turned into horror book trope.
Mm-hmm.
But it sometimes super falls flat for me. So, like, horror movie by Paul Tremblay that just came out, we talked about it a little bit on this podcast, I did not like it. Mm-hmm, so right. Now I'm afraid of all of them, but I'm hoping Bury Your Gaze by Chuck Tingle saves it for me.
I'm telling you right now, it will. Not to put too much hype on it, but that book was phenomenal. I loved it. It's terrifying too, because some of it is like, you could 1000% see some of this happening should 10 years down the road we actually start to get there, you know, in technology. But it is crazy, because I could, with how people are, 100% would happen. And I just feel like it's one of those where, like, you could kind of, he could probably spin so many stories from it, I think, just with like the different tales. Yeah. Really, are you reading that right now?
No. But yes.
But yes, kind of supposed to be. Okay. If we want to go down the weird route, next up for me, I actually purchased this book when I visited you in Chicago forever ago, and that
I
is,
know what it is.
guess,
It's Mary.
it is Mary. Yes. Mary by Nat Cassidy.
I was just thinking about this today because I was like, do you know how stupid my memory is? I saw a picture. Somebody was just talking about Mary, and I saw that picture and I was like, that's the book that Davin bought when I brought her to my independent bookstore. And then we went to Trader Joe's and someone commented on the cover.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The cashier at Trader Joe's. He
Yes.
was like, "Oh, I like the author," and I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." Like I've never. I was like, "Nice,
Yeah. So
sweet."
that's how my memory works. I remember that whole stream of events and then like forget a book as soon as I close it. But tell me about Mary.
So Mary is, it's a trip. It is so bizarre. You just have to buckle up and be prepared to have something really weird happen to you, I guess, or experience something weird. But basically, the whole pitch of this is like, what if Carrie grew up? What if she's an older woman now going through menopause, basically? So it's this older woman whose name, of course, is Mary, and she loses her job. She lives in New York, and she just decides to go back to Arroyo, which I think they base this in Arizona, actually. So I think
Ooh.
she goes back to her hometown. She's wanting to just kind of get her feet under herself again, but she's living with her aunt who is super abusive and just not a nice lady at all. But also, this town has a very dark history that de deals with a serial killer. So, you know, not only is Mary battling the whole menopause, you know, feeling invisible, like, you know, that kind of dialogue of like when a woman gets older, like she becomes invisible and she's going through menopause and no one believes her and blah, blah, blah. So it's part of her dealing with that, but also part of her dealing with the hallucinations of dead women that she's seeing around this hospital that she now works in.
That sounds so good.
It is really good. And what's cool is that, you know, even though it was written by a man, I feel like it never felt that way, to be honest. Like, I feel like he very much did his due diligence, but it's also kind of, and I do not remember the ending, but I want to go out on a limb here and say it was supposed to be kind of a good for her book in a way. And that's without me remembering even at the end what the hell happened. But you know, it was good. Definitely a standout book for me, for sure.
I haven't read that one. I don't own it, but I have been seeing a lot of Nat Cassidy lately, and his Instagram handle, I believe, is Cat Nacity, and I just
I
think
always get his name confused in real life. I was like, okay, wait, is it, what is it?
And I think he's great because of that. And he's got a book coming out in September. It's a novella called Rest Stop. And
Oh, thank
the
God.
cover is horrifying. It's like a bloody tile floor. So I'm definitely gonna pick that up when it comes out. And I might as well just get Mary too.
I would say so. He also had one come out called The Nestlings. That was his release last year. I didn't know about Rest Stop because I saw that he has a new book coming out, like a full book next year, and I was kind of bummed because it looks really good. It's either vampires or werewolves, one of the two, because that's like next year's trend. Like Stephen Graham Jones has a vampire book coming out next year. Rachel Harrison just released So Thirsty, so it's kind of just becoming, oh, that is an interesting cover. Rest Up, nice. But he has a new one coming out, and I was bummed because it's not coming out until early next year. And I was like, well, I don't want to wait a full year for one of his books because they're so good.
You
But
don't have to.
I don't have to. October 15th. Okay, well, that's
Oh,
good to know.
hey, when I said this month, I was wrong, but also not wrong because this podcast is releasing in
It is
October.
true. So we'll get this very soon. You know, current Davin and Laura have to wait a month, but you know, future Davin and Laura will probably
Future
already
Davin
have
and Laura.
this.
They're filled with joy.
They are so excited that they get to read this. Probably going to be a buddy read. Okay, next up, Jackal by Aaron E. Adams. Have you read this one?
No, it's also on my list.
Okay, first off, can we talk about the cover? Because the cover is stunning. Have you
Yeah, it
seen it?
is.
Oh my
Yeah.
goodness. Obsessed. If you haven't looked it up, please go look it up because it is just beautiful. And it's the hardback. Okay, the paperback cover may be the same, so whichever one you look at, you should be good. But this is one I read again a while ago, came out. Apparently, I read this a year ago because it came out last year, but it feels like forever ago, to be quite honest with you, that I read this. I did get an e-arc of it, though, so maybe that's why.
Yeah.
So it's about this woman, Liz, who is coming home. She is a Black woman. Her town is predominantly white, so she's like, you know, some stuff happened growing up. She's not super excited to go back home, but her best friend's getting married, so she kind of has to. But that night, something happens, and her best friend's daughter disappears. And this town has a very long history of young Black girls going missing and just not doing anything about it. So it's Liz confronting things that she's been through and just trying to also get justice for all the other young girls who went missing. So it kind of alternates, again, read this a year ago, but I think it alternates between, like, you get the perspectives of some of the girls who went missing and what led up to it, but you also get the perspective of the bad guy, the killer. Like, I think it kind of goes into supernatural-ish realms. Again, read this a while ago, so I could be wrong there, but it was really good. It was really, it's one of those ones that does societal commentary very well, but it's also creepy at the same time.
I love when you get a POV from, like, the villain of the story. I always think that's really interesting, so that's very exciting. But I just learned about this one this summer.
Really?
I didn't even know it had come out, and then once again on a podcast, Books in the Freezer, the author was on there with Rachel Harrison, and they were talking about that book.
Oh, how cool. That I need to listen to that episode then. That would be amazing, because I think she's done some short stories as well. I think Jackal was her debut, though, and it looks like she has a new book coming out, oh god, in 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah, 2026. Well, that sucks, but I will definitely wait for it, because her other books are just, that one book was really great. Okay, next up. Now, this wouldn't just be a horror episode if I didn't recommend Stephen Graham Jones, to be quite honest. So I have two recommendations. The first one is The Babysitter Lives. It's an audio-only exclusive to, I think it's on Audible, or at least at the time, maybe it went over to other platforms. Have you listened to this yet?
I have not.
Okay, so this one is kind of cool. It's basically, it's a haunted house story, and something happened in this house. And as she is babysitting and she's studying for her SATs, because of course she's just a young high school student, just doing what you do, some stuff starts happening. And it is very unexpected, and it's just a good time. You know, haunted house story, creepy kids. I don't know what else you want, to be quite honest.
Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing. That's everything I need.
Just this. Okay. Next up. Now, I know you've read this one because we've talked about it. Hide by Kristen White. Or Kirsten. Kirsten, yes. White. I love this one. What did you think of this one?
I loved it as well. It was, I read it, I want to say last summer, perhaps. And I think it was one of the books that, like, finally shook me out of my reading slump, because I moved and then I read maybe 19 books. Like, I read almost nothing in a year. And then I think last summer I picked up that book and, like, a horror amusement park with cult vibes. Hi. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Again, what else do you want? That's yeah, what it
there's
is.
There's hide and seek competition in abandoned amusement park, and then a monster calls. Like,
but of course,
it's a perfect plot.
There's way more to the story. Like, yeah, it's the monsters, and then it just, I think I didn't know what to expect, because honestly, I just, again, saw a haunted amusement park reality TV show and people start dying. Like, done. That's all I needed to hear.
Yep.
But then it kind of does go into an interesting route to what's going on. So it was fun. And this one also got a graphic novel adaptation. I haven't looked at it. There's a scene that I don't want to read because it made me so sad in the book. And I think you probably know which one it is. But I don't know. Maybe I'll go back to it. But yeah, this one was just, this one made her a autobi author for me. I haven't read anything else. I have three of her books and I haven't read anything since Hyde.
Yeah, I actually just finished Lucy Undying before we started recording.
Oh.
So, I mean, like, an hour ago, I just finished it. And that's her newest one.
Okay, thoughts, because I just got it delivered, and with yesterday, for us at least being Friday the 13th, wanted to read a horror book. I didn't end up reading one. I'm reading Vilest Things right now, so just decided to read a chapter of that. But what are your non-spoilery thoughts?
I don't think it's horror.
Okay.
I would not say it's horror. I would say it's mostly romance. It's romantasy. You might get some horror vibes towards the very end.
Mm-hmm.
But up until then, it's really more of a romance. And I honestly had a really hard time getting into it. Like, I was interested in the story because there's different formats and you're following Lucy in multiple ways, and then there's Iris in the present day, and then Iris finds Lucy's diary and she's reading Lucy's diary, and it's really interesting to see how a vampire moves through time. I've always thought that, so that's really cool, but I don't know, it just took me a long time to get into it because I was like really fascinated by the journal entries and like what was happening in Lucy's life, but I was also like bored at the same time. And then about halfway through, like, I couldn't stop reading. I was also trapped on a plane, but I finished over half the book in one sitting and was just like, I never mind, this is great. So I have torn feelings, but it didn't really feel like horror, but maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, well, we shall see, because honestly, what I really wanted to dive into, not that I'm not excited for Lucy Undying, but yesterday I really wanted to start so thirsty, but I'm waiting for a friend to get her copy, so here I am, just trying to fill a void.
As soon as we finish this podcast, like, as soon as we hang up, I'm going upstairs to start So Thirsty.
Well, so I have a friend who's going to go see her in Massachusetts, and she's like, I'm going to get you a signed copy, and I'm like, well, I can't, like, start it without her, to be quite honest. Like, that would be so rude.
It's true, you cannot. So, that's,
I'm just going to have to live through you, to be honest, and wait. Okay, so next up, I'm pretty sure you read this, too, because I think we talked about it, but it's Just Like Home by Sarah Gailey. Did you read this one too?
Yes.
Okay. I really like Sarah Gailey, even though this was only my second book by her. I feel like I don't know if she wrote Magic for Liars. I think she did, because I also own that and I thought I bought it because it was her. Either way, what was cool about this one for me was her, I don't know if you read her other book, The Echo Wife.
No.
That one is a really cool sci-fi fantasy book. It came out like the year before, Just Like Home did. But again, it was straight fantasy, more sci-fi, I guess, not fantasy, but straight up sci-fi. And this one is just the complete opposite, very dark, gothic kind of horror book, creature feature thing. Like, it is very bizarre, about a young woman named Vera who comes home when her mom asks her to, but her mom and her have a terrible relationship, and you start to find out why, because her family is very notorious in the community, and so it's her going home to deal with her relationship with her mom, being in this town that doesn't want her there, and just, like, going through the motions of kind of dealing with a parent dying as well. So it's a lot, but it's also supposed to be, I think, and this is weird to say, I guess, with everything that leads up to the end, because I remember this ending. It's also kind of beautiful in a way, I guess, it's supposed to be, but it's also bizarre. I don't know. This is just, it's something else.
It was real weird.
It was real weird, but if you didn't know, my favorite kind of genre is real weird. That's what I want.
Yeah, I only remember a few things, and I actually kind of remember, I can't talk about them, obviously, but I remember texting you and being like, bro, what? What in the world? I don't remember the synopsis of this book, so I don't know what's a spoiler and what's not. But, like, the house is weird. The family is not normal. It's all, but it goes beyond.
It's just something. Like, it's more than just.
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but.
Yeah, it's. It's one, okay, so it's one of those things, it's like, imagine you have a haunted house story, right, where the house, it's one of those books where the house is a character, so you have that,
yeah.
You kind of have, like, a murder story in it as well, but then it just takes a turn, and again, like a creature feature, it is just, you, I hate you, right?
I can't talk about it. I can't talk about
this whole time. Laura is just cracking up because it is one of those ones, to be honest, if you're gonna read it, you need to read it with someone to talk about it. And if you want to message one of us, our handles are in the show notes. Reach out to us because we'd be more than happy to talk about it. But it is, it's something else. Very, mm-hmm. very crazy.
And yeah, and you really can't say any more than that because it'll spoil the whole thing, because it's way more fun to go in and be like, what in the world
exactly
is happening? Uh-huh. But it is fun, and I do remember enjoying it, but at the same time being like, what just happened to me in my brain?
One, also what's kind of cool is that she, and you know, I've kind of stopped reading synopsises or just like really like reading them in depth because I feel like they give too much away a lot of the time. However, this one doesn't. Like, there's still a lot that is not in here that you're going to be surprised about. So even if you read the synopsis to see if you want to actually spend the time reading it, which I think you should, you're not going to be worried, or you're not going to have a lot spoiled for you. And also, I highly recommend the audiobook. I think it's Exe Sands that does this one, and I love her as a narrator. She just has this like kind of deep but also kind of deadpan voice in a way, but it has a lot of emotion. I don't know. I really like her, and she also narrated her previous book, so highly recommend.
Yeah, I did the audio. I agree.
Yeah, loved that. I think you also did the audio of the next one, which I was mad I didn't after you told me about it, and that is Dead Silence by S.A. Barnes.
Dead Silence is my it's one of my top five favorite books.
Yes.
In general. It might be my second favorite horror book.
What's your first?
It's it. It's always going to be it. It's
okay,
just,
well, that's saying a lot if this is second. Like, that's pretty good.
I loved this book so much. And yes, the audio was amazing and made me afraid of everything.
Mm-hmm. I got this when I read the synopsis, because I think one of our friends, Melly, sent this to me, and I was like, dude, I need this. I don't want to wait for it to come out. I ended up getting an early copy, thankfully, to Tor Nightfire. And it's basically, again, another one that's compared to The Shining, but it's Titanic meets The Shining. And it's
in space.
Yes, it's in space, which automatically, like, space freaks me out. So any space horror at all is just gonna be like so anxiety inducing to me, no matter what the plot is. Like, freaks me out, to be honest. But this one,
because no one can hear you scream,
and just the idea of like, no, you know what it is, like the idea of like going into space, like the whole process, and then just the fact that you could like turn around and be like, oh, there's Earth. Like, what do you mean? And of course, now you have the two astronauts stranded until early next month in like a Boeing spacecraft, whatever it is that they're doing. Hard no from me. Not going to space ever.
Correct. It's a hard pass for me. Space is scary. I rode the simulator at Disney World once, and that was enough for me to know that no. Like, I will buy astronaut ice cream, and that's as close as I want to get to space travel.
And that is it. Yeah, I mean, if I had to go to space, I would need it to be like Passengers, where I'm just like cryo frozen until we get there. But even then, like,
you gotta knock me out.
Yeah, I can't be conscious for this trip at all. So, but so,
and then imagine you get there and your spaceship is haunted.
Exactly. You find a haunted spacecraft that has been, I'm sorry, not a spacecraft, it's a luxury space liner, because instead of luxury cruises, we now have luxury space liners. And this one has been missing for like 20 years when the captain finds it, and she's on her last mission because things are being upgraded. She flies an older kind of spacecraft, and she's just not continuing for whatever reason. I think her contract's not being renewed. So she finds this luxury liner and is like, we need to figure this out. This is huge, because so many people have been looking for this. And so they go on board, and really creepy stuff starts happening because they start to find out what happened to these people. And what was cool, this one somehow combined a lot of the things I loved as a kid and the idea I had, like, what if this? And it combined it all into a really cool, a really great book, to be honest. Like, it was really worth all the buildup in my head for this one.
Yeah, I love Dead Silence. I can't recommend it enough. The audio is great and scary, and there are scenes in that book that I think about a lot, like anytime I go into a dark room. It's great. And I, space horror, that was the first space horror that I read, I think. And now I buy all of them. If I see one, I purchase it. And then I put it on my little shelf. And like right now I'm reading Parasites by Darcy Coates because it's a space horror. And it's giving space zombies.
Is yeah, it good? It's,
well, we'll see because it actually, it's like 5 or 6 novellas that got put together. I think it was originally published as short stories, and then they squished them all together into like an omnibus or whatever you call them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you're reading several different stories of this parasite situation going on, and I'm just hoping that there is like in fact a final resolution, because none of them have like come together yet. So I'm like, if I just read 5 separate stories about this parasite and nothing happens, I'm gonna be mad at you, Darcy. But everyone loves her writing. This is my first book by her, but everyone loves her horror stuff, so I presume I will be pleased in the end.
I don't know. So my only Darcy Coates I read, and again, this is the only one I read, and it could just be a not for me book, not like a not for me author. Maybe I haven't found the right one. I didn't totally love the one I read, and I think that's because I didn't like the main character. It was just one of those ones where it's like if you're going to be reckless, I need a little bit more logic behind it to me. Maybe I was being too critical, but I think like haunted house and like specifically more like legitimate ghost stories are so hard to pull off sometimes. Yeah. And it's just so hit and miss for me, which leads me into this next one because it was not hit or miss. I don't know if you, maybe you did read this. It Will Just Be Us by Joe Kaplan.
Yes.
Oh, okay. This one, speaking of scenes that stay with you, there's a scene here that when I read it, I was like, gave me a chill. I was like, absolutely not. This was so, it was a really cool horror book, and it kind of falls into some of the other horror pop culture things going on at the time in terms of plot or like plot devices. So I can't say too much about the ending, but there are some cool like little overlaps with this one. What did you think of this?
I loved this book. It's one of the best haunted house stories out there, and I haven't really seen a lot else from her, but this one, first of all, the setting is amazing because it's like this crumbling gothic mansion, and I believe it to be in a swamp.
It is in a swamp.
So
yes.
I want to read that book based on that alone. And then the story is great and the writing was amazing. I don't remember a lot of the details, but I know that it's 5 stars and I recommend it all the time, but it's just like faded from my brain. But yes, absolutely, 1000%.
Yeah, so this one is, so it's a gothic horror and they live in a haunted house that quote unquote never sleeps. So one sister is pregnant, and again, it's one of those ones where the house is a character. Mm-hmm. And things kind of just start happening. They start seeing an apparition of a faceless boy, and this kid is creepy.
Yes.
And
horrible.
Again, like what happens, oh, it's so, yeah, you just have to read it. Like, it's a gothic horror, takes place in a house on the edge of a swamp, and it's probably like the best ghost story you'll ever read. Mm-hmm. To be honest, she did, maybe I'll read that tonight. So she did write another book and I bought it when it came out, haven't read it yet, but it's like haunted, think like a haunted mineshaft or haunted miners or haunted.
Oh,
sounds perfect.
Oh, haunted mineshaft.
I think, I could be wrong, but it's, I think it's called When the Night Bell Tolls. Let's see if Goodreads will tell me.
When the Night Bells Ring. You're pretty close.
Heck yeah. Okay, so that one, oh my god, this came out 2 years ago. Yeah, so it's an old silver mine. So we can just go into this one. I haven't read it yet. Cover, though, is super pretty. I really like it. It's very simple, but nice little mine shaft with silver writing. But it's in the future, I guess. And these two people are riding across the U.S. and they come across a silver mine. And of course, because why not? They just decide to go in it. And of course, something monstrous lives in the mine shaft, because what else would happen? In a book.
Buying this.
About this.
Right now.
I think I'm going to pull this off my shelf. Again, like you said with Perfect Days, I know exactly where this one is. So
I'm sad that I didn't know this existed, because I really did. It Will Just Be Us is in terms of ghost stories, it's the best ghost story that I've read possibly ever.
Yes.
It's so good. So I am very excited that she's got another one.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that you're going to be chasing the high of for probably the rest of your life, to be honest. And we're only going to have, maybe if we're lucky, one more book that like kind of scratches that itch. But it's, you're just going to have to reread it anytime you want something like that.
Yeah.
There's just, I haven't come across and anything now, else.
Because it's been like 4 years. I want to say that was one of like the first books I got off NetGalley. It's been like a really long time since I've read it. Goodness. And now I'm like, perhaps now is the time.
You know what? It's so funny. I remember that. And I think I forgot how I got sent the copy, but I did get an e-copy and I didn't realize that they archived the books and I forgot to download it in time. And I was like, no. And I was like, can you send me another version? And God bless them, they did. So I got to read it still. But
that's nice.
Could have very much turned into a no, you suck, and just go buy a copy.
Yeah, you're the worst and we hate you.
Exactly. And then that would have been the end of my Bookstagram career, to be honest. it wouldn't have been, but okay. Now, I'm not sure you've read this next one, but it was another one that I remember just really loving when I read it, and it's Such a Pretty Smile by Christy DeMeester.
Nope.
Okay. This is, and I don't know if this was her first horror book or just first debut, or this was her debut, but it's a book about, so there's something called The Cure, and it's killing women, but it's specifically killing young girls who were on the verge of becoming women, and they're, you know, they're going against society, they're not what people would want, they're loud, they're, you know the things, like all the things that, you know, society doesn't want, that's what these women are. And so it deals with both the daughter Lila, but also has chapters from the mom's point of view as well, when she was younger and first encountering these things. And I think one of the things that's kind of interesting, the way that they signal this, which is like they hear dogs barking from what I remember. And that is kind of a signal that stuff is about to happen. But it doesn't end how I thought it would end. Not in a bad way, just unexpected. And it was just another one of those ones where, kind of like we talked about with The Eyes Are the Best Part, there's a lot for women to relate to. So it's one of those ones where you're just going to be like highlighting a lot of quotes. And it's just, it was really good. To be honest, I know there's not a lot of plot in what I just said, but you just have to trust me and go read it because it's worth it.
Yeah, I remember the cover, but I don't have that one. I never picked it up, but I shall have to look into it now.
Yes, highly recommend that one. Okay, I have two more, and I have to like throw a curveball in this one, but when I was going through my Goodreads to figure out what I was even going to recommend to anybody today, this one popped up, and I loved this one. Surprisingly, even though it's kind of a horror romance, but it's...
Oh, I'm scared.
No, you shouldn't be. It is Anatomy, A Love Story by Dana Schwartz. Did you read this?
I remember that you loved that book very much.
Oh my goodness, you guys. Okay, so I don't know how you can, because it's set in like the 17 or 1800s, and you have this kind of high society girl named Hazel, but she wants to be a surgeon. She is not afraid of blood, guts, any of that that goes into being a doctor, but of course she can't be a doctor because sexism and women don't know anything because of their small, wee brains. And
it's true.
She meets a guy who is a resurrection man, so he's like digging up graves for people to sell bodies, right? So he's like a grave robber, basically. And so things just start to happen. I honestly kind of, well, I'm not going to say that that's a spoiler, but she kind of just goes on to, you know, sneak into this lecture hall with this very popular surgeon. And she is just trying to get any education that she can. And things start happening, and it's very kind of gothic. And I don't know if you liked the vibes of like Stalking Jack the Ripper, again, the Victorian.
I was going to say, it's giving Stalking Jack the Ripper.
Exactly. So there is a romance. It's a duology. The second one is really fun. It's a good time. Like the audio is really great. It's different. I haven't read anything like it too much outside of like, again, the vibes of another horror Victorian kind of book. But this one is, it's not all romance. So it's not just like hard romance, but that is a pretty big plot point here as well. But, and the covers are beautiful.
It's YA, yeah?
Yes, it is. Okay, my last recommendation, and I kind of threw this in last minute when I was looking up my list, it's Mongrels by Stephen Graham Jones. Have you read this one?
I have not.
Okay, me either, but this is another one who, another one that I see talked about a lot, and a lot of people who read his work really love this about as much as people love My Heart Is a Chainsaw. So for those reasons alone, I would want to read it, but I think it has something to do with werewolves and this young boy who is living with his family, who is on the edge of town. And I've heard it's, again, like we talked about with I Was a Teenage Slasher, I think it's just supposed to be very emotional and have a lot of heart and just also be scary. So yeah, that's one of the ones that's on my personal TBR, hopefully for October.
I like it.
The cover's also pretty cool.
I haven't read it. I've seen the cover a lot. I've seen that bouncing around a lot more lately, but I haven't picked it up yet. But I am going to try and do My Heart Is a Chainsaw again.
I'm so excited. And I know they're redoing his covers. So for anybody who, like me, has been trying to find more of his old work and can't, unless they want to pay like a couple $100. I think October 1st, they're re-releasing a couple of his things with new covers. So I'm also future
Davin coming.
Has her hands on these. Current Davin does not. Just something to look forward to.
Future Davin is staring at her new Stephen Graham Jones collection.
Yes, she is just. That's my goal, is to get as many of his books as I can. And so we're just starting. We're just starting here. Do you have anything that you want to throw in for our spooky October episode?
Yeah, I have a few. So Dead Silence was on my list. We don't have to talk about that.
Nice.
In the vein of The House Is a Character, everyone who loves a haunted house story needs to read The September House by Carissa Orlando.
Okay, I'm curious because I've heard mixed reviews.
It's not mixed. Talk to me. They're wrong. You gotta listen to the audio. I don't have the narrator's name written down because I suck. But she... So it's... The book is this... older couple lives in a house, and they were so lucky to have gotten it, and I believe it's like their first home, even though they're like
red flag,
right, well into their adults, and they're so shocked that they could afford it, and it's beautiful and what an exciting time to be alive. And then they find out that every September really weird stuff starts happening in the house, like the walls bleed and there might be ghost children, and you know, that's just kind of the way it goes with this house. But they buy this house, it's very exciting, and then the woman's husband, his name is Hal, and she's Margaret. Hal can't take it anymore, and he flees. Margaret's not leaving. This is her house, she bought it.
Margaret's not no wimp.
I'm good with a little blood dripping from the walls, whatevs, it's fine. But then Hal starts not returning phone calls, and their daughter Catherine gets worried about it, and she doesn't know anything about the hauntings, and she comes to Margaret to try and figure out what's going on, and unfortunately, she comes in September, so... She starts seeing some wild things as she starts digging into what has happened to her father. And it's just there. It's one of those books where you're like, it's kind of like an unreliable narrator situation, but it's also not. And the narrator of the audiobook does such a good job doing the like, am I crazy? No, no. Ghost child is right there and he just bit me. Like it's so good, and it's funny. It's funny, it's scary, it's all of the things, and I loved it so much. And actually, I might just go sit down and listen to it again this week because it's so good.
So, okay, two things. I've been in a really weird book slump mood recent, like the last month, so maybe that will be the audiobook that gets me back into audiobooks. Two,
I believe it will.
In a scale of It'll Just Be Us at the top, where does this rank in comparison, do you think?
See, so I think it's like different though, because the vibes are completely different.
Okay.
It Will Just Be Us is this like gothic haunted house story, and the September House is like, it's a haunted house story, but they're hard to compare. It's close. It's good. It's really good.
Okay. I'm going to get it. I have a lot of Audible credits to burn, so.
I burn one on it. And if you don't like it, you can shame me and you never have to read The Winter People.
How long has it been? I think since we've been friends.
4 years, Davin. It's been 4 years.
And I still haven't.
And I read that CJ Tudor book and I hated it, so.
Oh my
God. I didn't hate it. It was fine.
That's right. I don't, again, plot twist, I forgot. I don't remember the plot of that one. I remember who did it, but I don't remember.
The plot is, it's the book It, only tiny, and it just, never mind.
That's a different episode topic.
Okay, so in the theme of space zombies, I have Contagion by Aaron Bowman, and this is a young adult novel, and it's space zombies, and I'm going to be completely honest, that's really all I remember.
What else do you need, to be honest?
It's a duology. I read both. They're both great. So there's an SOS call, and they go to check it out. Everyone's dead. The ship is abandoned. There's rotten food and dead bodies, and everything is bad.
Hot.
And then maybe the dead wake up and start chasing you around the abandoned space station.
Oh, done. They also compare it to Resident Evil, which I love that franchise. So, you know, I think I kind of have to add this to
it's my... It's great. I love it. I think it's super underrated. I never, ever see it. And it's so good.
I've never heard of this either.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's old. I don't really...
It's $2.99 on Kindle. I'm just going to buy this.
Get out there. Get after it. I think the second one is called Immunity, but I'm not positive on that. It's great. Hooray for Aaron Bowman. I love her writing. Nice. It is young adult, but honestly, other than their ages, like, I don't think it reads super young adult, but I did read it an eternity ago, so I could be wrong, but it's great. And then, these are all women, laugh out loud. And then I have Theme Music by T. Marie Vandelli. Oh
my goodness, yes.
That's another one that I think, I've seen it more maybe recently, but I think, again, it slipped under the radar when it came out. And this one is Baby Blue, who was the only survivor of a family massacre, is now an adult, and she is going back to the home where her family used to live to kind of, like, think about her past-ish. Mm-hmm. And then when she gets there, things start happening. Is the house haunted? Who really killed her family? Will we know the answer to these questions? Maybe, maybe not. And it's just one of those books that, like, I was like, wow. And that was her debut.
Oh, I didn't know it was her debut. I just know we haven't seen anything else from her, which I'm so sad about because I loved Theme Music. It was really, it was a lot. Like, it was gory, but then it kind of just...
Yes.
Went with that true crime feel that I think a lot of people love, and this one was just really good. I really liked it.
I think it's just, like, a really great, underrated, spooky season read,
mm-hmm.
and I want more people to read it, so maybe she'll be inclined to give us another one.
Please, please, please.
More recently, I wish I looked up how to say this last name. I read We Used to Live Here by Marcus Kleiwer. This is another haunted house story. I'm sorry. They're my favorite. But this one goes in a, like, kind of different direction that I wasn't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what they compared it to. Let me look really quick. But I told Davin, it reminded me so much of the podcast Tannis.
Done.
Simply because it's kind of like maybe the house is more than just a house. And maybe it's psychological, but also maybe it's not. And the ending is one of my biggest fears. My greatest fear is the ending of this book. And it's so good. So there's a couple that flips houses, and they've bought this house. I believe it to be Pacific Northwest-y. I can't remember exactly where it's set, but it's, like, very secluded at, we'll say it's at the top of this hill or whatever. I can't remember what they call it in the book, like Dog Mountain or something. But that's absolutely not what it's called, but I'm pretty close.
And I want to live on Dog Mountain.
Exactly. So it's Charlie and Eve, both women, and they are a couple, a queer couple who flip houses. They bought this house, and Charlie is in town, and Eve gets a knock on the door, and it's a whole family. And the dad is like, hey, we used to live here. I used to live here. I'd love to show my family around. Can I come inside? And Eve, who is a people pleaser, is like, oh, no. Charlie said no. It's really unfortunate, but no. Mm-mm. And she looks down, and the little girl is very sad. And she ends up letting them into the house. And then everything falls apart pretty quickly. And Eve is doubting everything. Are these people here to hurt me? Are these strangers bad? And then it turns into, is the house bad? It was just so good and mind-bending. And again, another great haunted house story. I think maybe these are, do I have all five of my top five favorite haunted house stories? We'll see. I think there's only four on here, but highly recommend that. It's great. The audio is really good too. But there are some mixed media situations in there that might be fun in a physical copy, but I don't know because I did the audio. And then my last like real horror one, and then I have a fun one, is Old Country by Harrison and Matt Query.
I never read this one. I think I have it somewhere though.
Again, it's I did the audio. It's such a fun take on a haunted house story, but instead it's like a haunted valley. The whole place is haunted and it changes based on the season. So there's a spring-based haunting, there's a summer-based haunting, there's a fall-based haunting, and a winter-based haunting. And some of them are so much worse than the others. One of them in particular, I would simply burst into flames. Like, there's no way I could deal with it as a sane person. And I couldn't do it. It's just, it's an interesting and kind of fresh take on a haunting story. I do have some qualms with the ending, just kind of like they're socially based and I don't want to ruin anything, so I'm not gonna drop it, but I don't know, sometimes I'm like, why do you really think white people are that great? It's one of those.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a little iffy.
Yeah, and it's just like, shrug. You knew it was going to happen, like, throughout the whole story, but it did take, like, a little bit away from it for me. But I still loved the story. They just came out with another book that I will definitely pick up. It's just a really fun take on a haunting. And then my last recommendation, fall, October, good times recommendation for people who hate horror is Pumpkinheads by Rainbow Roll and then illustrated by Faith Erin Hicks. It's so cute. It is the cutest. There's a goat on the loose and there are two teens who work every year at the pumpkin patch and, you know, there's a corn maze and hay rides and they have succotash. I don't know. It's just, it's so cute and the illustrations are adorable and it's heartwarming and it's a good time and I read it every year because it's an adorable graphic novel. 10 out of 10.
Nice. I know a lot of people are loving the graphic novels, I feel like, the last couple years.
It's the only one I've ever read.
Oh, okay. I was thinking, I know a lot of people are reading Lore Olympus. Like, everyone is obsessed with that right now. So that's kind of where my brain goes when I hear that.
I have seen that one around a lot. But this is the only one I've read. And it's just really cute, comforting, cozy. It's like, you know, you're sipping on your hot cider wrapped in your blanket. And that's what, it's a hug in a book. That's what it feels like.
Sometimes you need those for like spooky season or just the cozy fall season. So I definitely,
you just need,
I get that.
A lighthearted, it can't all be, you know, a zombie eating your face in space. It also has to be, you know, there's a loose goat and he's kind of a butthead, you know? Just
well, not to bring the conversation back to zombies, but to kind of bring it back to zombies, because you talking about We Used to Live Here reminded me that I forgot to put this on my list, because it reminds me just of a Terry Miles story, who did all of the podcasts like Tannis and Rabbits, and for anyone not familiar, but Fever House by Keith Rawson. This book, let me tell you, the synopsis does not do it justice. Like, I think people will read the synopsis and be like, you read the synopsis and it kind of just defines what kind of reader you are and what you want to read, because it is just so bizarre. But again, something that in an alternate reality could 1000% happen. And it's a really interesting way to start an apocalypse, to be quite honest with you, like how this all plays out. But it starts off with these two criminals who were like strongmen for a crime boss, basically. They're trying to go get a guy who owes him money, and the guy is just not cooperating, and they're like, okay, we just have to bring him in, and this guy will not leave until they take him to the fridge so he can get something, and he grabs a severed hand. And this severed hand makes people feel a certain type of way, and it's not a great way. It's actually potentially murderous, and it just cycles through like government agencies, kind of occult practices, like hidden messages, a famous rock band that had tragic endings. Like, there's a lot going on here, and it's a duology. And this is just, it's one of those ones where you're like, again, what the heck am I reading? But you can't stop reading.
Yeah, it's absolutely on my list. Especially, like, really anything set in the Pacific Northwest, I will give it a go. And it sounds really fun, but you're absolutely right. When you read that synopsis, like, it defines what type of reader you are, because it does just sound super weird. But I've only heard good things about it.
Oh, phenomenal. This one got me out of a book slump, though, too, so I definitely have a lot of love for it. It took me a long time to read it just because I was busy, but I never felt like it drug. Like, it was just so fun, to be honest. It's a good time.
Excellent. You've given me so many to add to my little list this season. I do already have a bunch that I want to read that I've heard such good things about. So we'll see how many I get to, because my reading is very slow lately.
Oh gosh, same. Okay, I know we've talked about a ton of books right now, but like super quickly, what are some that are on your TBR for this month?
I'm going to read The Spite House.
Loved. Also, his new one, amazing.
Don't remember the author's name. Help me.
I think it's Johnny Compton or Crompton.
Johnny Compton.
I win.
Yahoo. I'm going to read So Thirsty, we talked about that, by Rachel Harrison. Very excited. Fall is vampire season. And then, oh no, I forget what it's called. Gone from my brain. I'm going to read Vampires of El Norte.
Ooh, yes, okay.
That's Isabel Cañas, I think?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Bury Your Gaze by Chuck Tingle.
Love it.
I wish I could remember the other one.
Did you save it on Goodreads?
Yeah, but it came out so long ago. It's a smaller book. Black Girl Goes Home. And, like, her friend is having a wedding on a plantation. Is this helping at all?
Oh, When the Reckoning Comes?
Yes! Okay.
Ooh, that one is, that's really good.
Okay, so When the Reckoning Comes, and I'm looking up the author's name now, because I was unprepared for this question. LaTanya McQueen is the author. I've had that one. I bought it, like, the day it came out, and it's just been hanging out. So I'm going to do that one. I have a few others, and then I have two from Aardvark coming today, I believe they delivered, and I know I want to read one of them. Lady Macbeth is one.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to read They Never Learn by Lane Fargo. We talked about that, well, this month, but in my mind, last month. So yeah, just like a bunch of books that have been on my TBR for a really long time, and then a couple of new releases, and I'm hoping in a month and a half, I can get through a good chunk of them.
I'll have my fingers crossed for you.
Yeah. There are more, but I can't remember them off the top of my head. I just pulled a bunch of stuff out this morning and was like, this one, no, this one. And so it's all kind of jambled, but
we have to, in our next month's episode at the beginning, we'll have to see how many you actually are able to get through.
Oh, and no.
Maybe we'll do like a bonus recap episode.
That scares me.
Of like your favorites.
What did I actually make it through? None of this. Surprise. Plot twist. None of them. She...
Plot twist. I just read a lot of romance in Correct. October.
Right. I just started writing. Because there are a few... I have a few romantic-y situations also. There's that vampire one that came from Aardvark last month. I got a romantic-y from Aardvark this month.
Oh, yeah.
So there's every possibility that I completely go rogue, but probably not because it's Halloween.
Well, okay, to be fair, like you could do the romanticy from Aardvark this month because it's like when the tides come in,
yes,
or when the dark tides do something.
Dark tide, something or other.
It's Dark Academia, so I think you can get away with that.
Ooh, that sounds lovely for September.
Yeah, so I think the vibes are right.
Perfect.
The vibes are right.
They always are because Aardvark, the people behind Aardvark are geniuses.
They really are, like, not sponsored. I really am happy that we re-signed back up for this because it's been really fun to see what they pick, you know?
Yeah. And they're so good. Every month they're so good. I've gotten more than one every month. The first month I did it, I got three.
That is, yes. The only reason I haven't gotten multiples is there's some that I already had, like Bury Your Gaze. They had that one. They had I Was a Teenage Slasher.
Right.
I had already either had a copy or pre-ordered a copy. So if I didn't, I 100% would have gone there.
This actually, our whole podcast is the Aardvark fan group podcast. Eyes Are the Best Part was an Aardvark pick. Uh-huh. Teenage Slasher was an Aardvark pick. Like a lot of the books that we've discussed. So, we love you, Aardvark.
Yes, shout out if you want to reach out to us. I mean, we're not opposed to it.
Love you so much. Heart eyes.
Yes, love it. All the heart emojis. Well, I feel like this is maybe like one of our longest episodes since our initial one.
I think this is going to be the longest one. And honestly, it could have gone longer. I think we both probably restrained ourselves a little bit because this is, I mean, it's my favorite time of year and my favorite type of book to read, especially lately. Like, I was looking at my story graph, which is the best way to track your books. I love them so much. I was looking at them and like 80% of the books I've read this year are horror. It's wild.
Same. I was going on a huge horror binge and then I read a fantasy, but I think I'm in a horror mood again, so yeah. I'm hoping to get through quite a few, and yeah, I think same. It's just 2024 is the year of horror.
Yeah, I'm hoping it clicks. I'd love to have a good month and read a bunch of books, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, thanks for sticking with us, because I think this one's over an hour.
It is over an hour.
Maybe it won't be after you cut out the dead air of me Googling the synopsis of books, because I'm unprepared.
That's okay. I threw you under the bus and just made you do it. So, you know, it is what it is. But, I mean, we could talk about this all day. So,
absolutely.
Follow us on Instagram at Plot Twist I Forgot if you just want to see what we are reading this month. Maybe we'll share some of our personal recs as we're also reading Halloween Party by R.L. Stine. So, let us know as well in a post what your favorite horror book or what your spooky season TBR looks like. We'd love to see it.
Yeah, what should we have added to our TBR? Tell me what I should read next year, because I can't add any more this year.
Or next month, because
it's always spooky season. November is a scary month.
It is. Honestly, the end of the year is a scary time. It could horrifying. Be. There's a lot of horror stuff. So I feel like, you know, Christmas just scares me. So I feel like there's a lot that we could work with.
We'll see you in 2 weeks when we are reading Halloween Party by R.L. Stine, and mm-hmm. That'll be a spoiler chat. So if you're worried about being spoiled on a book from, I don't know, 20 years ago, read it first.
Bye.
Bye.